None of them that wait on thee shall be confounded. Show, O Lord, thy ways to me, and teach me thy paths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I did not take the text from the epistle or gospel today, but rather from the gradual for today's Mass. And I chose this text because it seems to be emblematic of a very important virtue for the season of Advent, indeed, a much needed virtue for our entire lives. The virtue of patience. Patience. When I think of the 4,000 years that mankind had to wait for the Messiah to come, I'm always struck by how long a time that is. Now, I know there are people who believe that our earth is millions of years old, and that's, of course, a very long time. But even 1,000 years is an enormously long time. So much can happen in 1,000 years, so much can happen in 4,000 years. Let me try to put it into perspective. How long has our country been in existence? Well, in 2 years, it will be 250. From the time that the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. That's a long time, isn't it? 250 years. But you'd have to multiply that by 16 to have 4,000 years. So mankind collectively had to practice an enormous amount of patience. And despite their sinfulness, despite their problems, despite the persecutions, despite the dislocation of the tribes and the return of at least two of the tribes, despite all that, so many of them would never see the Messiah. They waited for him, but he wasn't meant to come at their time, but they still had to patiently wait. Patience is difficult. It actually comes, this word patience, from the Latin word which means to suffer or to endure. Patior, I suffer, I endure. And some things that we hope will happen in our lives won't happen. And yet we still have to be patient about it. Other things will happen. Certain things we've prayed for. Certain very great goods we've prayed for. Help for some kind of difficulty. It will finally come. But we had to suffer and endure until it came. Is this a pointless exercise? This suffering, this waiting, this frustration? But let us listen again to those words from the gradual today. None of them that wait on thee shall be confounded. And here is the even more important sentence. Show, O Lord, thy ways to me and teach me thy paths. So that's what's happening in the time of unanswered prayers. That's what's happening in the time of waiting. That's what's happening in enduring the things that have to happen until God says yes. I wish we could understand how much the people of the Old Testament longed for the coming of the Messiah. And fortunately, that hope seemed to grow as time went on because they were getting closer to the time that the Messiah was going to come. They just didn't know when. That's probably the most difficult thing about waiting. We don't know the time frame. It's on the calendar, God's calendar, but we don't know what that day is. But be assured of the fact that valuable lessons, spiritual lessons, are being taught in the patient waiting. We also need patience to not just plunge into the Christmas spirit. Already, the worldlings, they're fully into the Christmas season. They see Thanksgiving as the official first day of Christmas. No waiting whatsoever. And they miss out completely on the meaning, on the purpose of Advent. They miss out on the preparation. As we know, as a rule, things are only as good as we prepare for them. If we don't prepare, it's not going to be much of an event or a meaningful event. So yes, we'll have to wait on the celebration. It's all right during Advent to gradually put up more and more decorations, but we don't want to, again, plunge completely into the Christmas spirit. We'll need the virtue of patience. Let's show an example to those who don't know or don't believe, don't understand that there's a real blessing involved in observing Advent. I remember reading in that fine book written by Maria von Trapp in 1955, around the year with the Trapp family, and she noted when they were on tour here in America at the time, well, it was earlier than 1955 because it was only about 10, 15 years they were able to tour as a family, but they were really focusing on Advent hymns, and she was shocked that the day after Thanksgiving, America was already celebrating Christmas. And being from the old country, the Catholic country of Austria, you just didn't do that. You observed Advent. As a matter of fact, I think to this day, the public singing of Silent Night is still not allowed in Austria until Christmas Eve. Because after all, it was on a Christmas Eve that magnificent, probably most beloved Christmas carol of all time was first sung in 1818. So despite of all of its problems and decadence and secularism, Austria still says no Silent Night until Christmas Eve. You're going to have to wait. Again, valuable spiritual lessons are taught us in patient waiting. The Lord is showing his ways to us. He is teaching us his paths. Part of patience, I think, is also accepting things when they are supposed to happen. Things maybe we don't want to happen or want to postpone, but they're on the calendar. The end of the world, which is talked about in the gospel today, that's on the calendar, my dearly beloved, and there's nothing you or I can do to change that. God has already determined that, and we will have to accept that. The day of our death, that's on the calendar too. We just don't know that, what that day is, but it is on the calendar. And so we are preparing for that time. So isn't it interesting how the first day of Advent, the church is reminding us of the end of the world? And there's another reason, of course, because when Christ comes the second time, at the end of the world, it will be far different from his first coming. His first coming was so quiet, so well, or not well known. Only the shepherds knew about it at first. And it happened in the middle of the night, in quietness. But when he comes in majesty, every single human being that has ever lived will see it. And the general judgment will take place, and everyone shall see everyone else's sins, their judgment, their good deeds. They'll see who are the saved and who are the lost. So what a great contrast on which to reflect between the first coming and the second coming. And we are preparing for that lovely, charming, so inspiring feast of Christmas, where God is born as a baby boy. So patience is a virtue for every one of us in this holy Advent season. Patience is so needed in life's frustrations. And there are many things that we can't change. We have to accept that. That's the virtue of patience. And we are growing spiritually through that. If it is something that needs to be changed, we pray for the courage to do so. But pray for the wisdom to know the difference between what must be endured patiently and what can or should be changed. Remember the value of that beautiful little prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Meek and humble. Of all the times our Lord said, imitate me, or actually, that was really the only time he specifically used that formula. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. That implies patience right there. And as we practice that patience, we will be doing what St. Paul tells us in today's epistle to end it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.